Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
All right, so go to Luke 15. We've been there before. There is an image that several months ago really has wrecked me in a good way. And I'll show it to you in a little bit, but it's causing me and it's inviting me to be very intentional, and it's challenging me in a lot of different ways. In fact, this week we were able to live out this image in a way that we hadn't done it before, Robin and I. And so for over the next 4 weeks, really through the month of July, we're going to step away from James and step into a summer series, if you will, entitled Our House Revisited. As you know, Our House is Your House is our theme for the year, but I want to revisit that and just hopefully drill down into our hearts as to the church that the Lord wants us to be. A couple of weeks ago in our quarterly iLead meeting, which is our ministry leadership time that we do quarterly, I threw out some stats. I want to share those with you because many of you weren't at the iLead, but in Sedgwick County, there are over 244,000 unclaimed people in our county, in Sedgwick County alone. So unclaimed would mean people that aren't serving Jesus, people that have no church affiliation, people that are not sure if God exists. They at one time maybe went, but they don't go anymore, or they don't believe there's a God. Whatever that brush looks like, they're unclaimed. 244,000 people a breath away from eternity. Unreached. The expected population growth of our Valley Center metro area, because it all revolves around Valley Center. It's not Wichita Metro, it's Valley Center Metro. It's all how you look at it, right? But the expected population trend of Valley Center in 2022, the expected population of a 15 to 20 mile radius around Valley Center will be 9,000 and about 120 people. In 2027, it will be 9,430 people is the expected population of our area. So you know what our population is now. You're going to see growth in our area. The average age in 2017 of Valley Center was 37.8 years of age. In 2022, the expected average age of our immediate area will be 38.95. How many of us are going to be over that? Don't raise your hand. So, and with that, ask me the question, okay, so what's the phase of life? What phase of life is going to experiencing population growth? What phase of life will be experiencing decrease in growth? The phase of life, the ages 25 to 34, will have a growth increase. They're saying, the U.S. Census is saying, that there will be a 5.3% growth increase of that demographic in a 15 to 20 mile radius around our church. Age 65 is the next growth area. I'm sorry, every year you and I have a birthday. But that's the next big growth area of a 4.3% increase. And so I say all that to kind of set the table of where we're going in this series and what our responsibility is. I'm so excited. Over the last several months, I've had opportunity to become connected with something. I went to a meeting a week or two on a Tuesday night, called All America, and I'm not going to get into it a whole lot this morning, but the initiative of All America is this, is that every, for Kansas and across the state, but they're starting here, that every individual in the state of Kansas would be prayed for. And with that prayer would come the opportunity that they would receive an adequate presentation of the gospel to them through a span of time. And you think about that, they're developing an app. The app's really cool. You'll see, we'll talk about it more in the coming months when it's released, but it's pretty awesome. Could you imagine looking at this app and you see a map of Valley Center and you see the houses that have been, those individuals have been committed to be prayed for, and then you're going to see houses where people are not being prayed for yet. And just that God would move us to that reality of where our community's at and what's happening in this region and opportunities that we have. As you study census stuff, you learn this, life concerns. How many of you have life concerns? I do. I have several, but I am a concern, I think, sometimes. But here's the deal. In our area, in the Sedgwick County, personal health problems are the number one concern people have. About 53% of people are concerned about their health stuff going on. Another concern is losing weight or diet issues. About 49% are people like, man, you know what? The cake gets put in front of me, and I just like cake, and I eat it. How many of you can identify with that? You're just like, man, I like cake. I like ice cream. And so that's a concern. Listen to this one. Getting over the past and dealing with guilt. 38% of people in our area wrestle with that. That is their number one concern. That's their life concern. Man, I made past mistakes. I did something, and that thing just drags behind me. Depression, almost 34% of people. That's their number one life concern. One in four people. That's over one in four people. People give reasons for not being involved in church in our area. The number one reason they give is religious people are too judgmental. Another reason they give is religion is too focused on money. And then finally is they don't trust religious leaders. That's all from the U.S. Census Bureau. And so today, as I said, we're stepping away from our James series and we're stepping into really, I like to do a summer series just to kind of do something different. And so we're talking, I've already gave you the title, Our House Revisited. You see it on the screen. And the goal, this is the goal of why I want to step here this morning and for the next several weeks. My goal is simply this, and I've said it before, is to make heaven more crowded. That's why. That's why we want our house to be your house, is to make heaven more crowded. Unashamedly, I say that to you. I say that to people, whether you're visiting today, whether I'm talking to my neighbor. My goal is to make heaven more crowded and my house to be your house. And so I love what Tracy Whiting, I asked her several weeks ago for our ILE to just give me a note as to how you landed here, why you landed at our church. She's new to LifePoint, and she said this, how I heard about LifePoint. They host Kids Fest at the Fall Fest every year. My daughter Autumn and I was there, and she was having a blast, and all the volunteers were so, so sweet and nice. And I got to talking to a few people there, and they told me about LifePoint. I decided to try this church out. I had been looking for a church that gave me the warm, welcoming feeling I would get at my brother's church. I finally found it. Explanation point. Hugs, hug, little hugs, big hugs, kiss. I'm just kidding. She didn't do that stuff. But on our way home, I was talking to Autumn and asking her of all the churches, which was her favorite. She said, LifePoint, everyone is so thoughtful and welcoming. We made LifePoint our home church. Listen to this. I decided to follow Jesus and was baptized. A few weeks later, amen, come on. A few weeks later, Autumn was baptized too. I see all the good LifePoint does for our community and how they help others inside our church as well as outside. My best friend is now attending LifePoint. She has a friend who is now coming to our church. Listen, I tell that not to toot our own horn, not to say, hey, look at us. I simply say that describes what we're striving to be. Amen? And Luke 15 defines who we want to be as a church and what we want to see happen in people's lives. It's the why and it's the how, because it describes the heart of God. and we want his heart to be our heart. And if you don't want God's heart to be your heart, you're crazy. Look, church isn't a building, it's people. And the goal is to break down the barriers that I mentioned earlier as to, you know, people, why they don't come, or how they feel about the church, or what they think about Christianity. You know what? It's not so much about Christianity. It's to lift up Jesus. Amen? And I love what Warren Wiersbe said. Listen to this. Lost sinners came to Jesus not because he catered to them or because he compromised his message, but because he cared for them. Jesus asked us to do two things. Love God, not kind of, not on your good day, not on your best day, but love him with everything that you have, whether it's on your good day or it's your best day. Secondly, he says, love others. In other words, love your neighbor. You can see it in Luke chapter 10, verse 27. It's simply the great commandment. But back to the image that I started talking about at the very beginning, that's kind of messed with me, that's kind of wrecked me in some ways, that's really convicted me and challenged me. It's up on the screen right now, if you would put it up there. And yeah, that's it. That's not it. Hopefully they'll find it. Hopefully it won't crash the computer. But you've heard me talk about it. I put it up there before, but it's the image of a house. It's a nine boxes. Hey, there it is. Yeah. Awesome. That's your house right in the middle. And the other eight houses around it are your neighbors. And I was reading a book that was talking about that, and it asked the question, do you know your neighbors? Do you know your neighbors' names? Do you know the eight neighbors around your house, in front of you, behind you, on the side of you? And unfortunately, as I was reading the book, I had to say no. I don't know my neighbors behind me. I don't know the neighbors off the corner of my backyard. And I was challenged, I was convicted, and that image is just kind of stuck with me. And I've wrestled with it. And so at the end of service, as you leave this morning, we're going to distribute to you this graphic, this image. It's a magnet. So you can put it on your freezer, or you can put it on your refrigerator, or you can put it up wherever, just so you see it. And you can fill it in and write your neighbor's name on it. But here's something else that I would ask that you write, if you can write small enough, and write it in erasable marker in case you get new neighbors. All right, but here, write this down, okay? I should have made a PowerPoint, but I didn't. Here's what I want you to write on each one of those squares. Write the name of your neighbor. Secondly, I want you to write down something relevant about them. Not they drive a Honda, or they have an oak tree in their front yard. Try to go a little bit deeper. They have five kids. They whatever. Some relevant information about their life. And then the third thing that I want you to do, and you may not know the third one right now, but you're going to get to know your neighbor. Write down something meaningful that you just learned about them. So, case in point, Robin and I, we just got new neighbors out of our backyard, in our backyard. And so this week, we were like, hey, let's go meet our neighbors. No agenda, no reason for it other than to try to do what Jesus told us to do, to love your neighbor and be a neighbor. And so we went and got a pie from them from Village Inn or whatever, Village Inn, right? And took it to them and began to visit with them and learn their names and learned some stuff about them. You know, actually, they were in our neighborhood already, and they just moved to that house because they wanted a bigger place for family gatherings. So we know, okay, family is really important for them, so that's how we're going to pray for them. We're going to pray for their family. Look, you're like, Steve, that's scary. Can we have a class? Listen, there is no school to learn to love your neighbor, just the house next door. Truth number one, no one expects you to love them flawlessly. But you can love them fearlessly. You can love them ferociously. You can love them unreasonably. And second truth is you can't love people you don't know. Right? Luke 15, our text for the day, verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled. The NIV puts it that they muttered. How many of you have muttered about someone or something before? Maybe you muttered about your neighbor. I wish my neighbor would rake his leaves because they're getting in my yard. I wish my neighbor's kids would not put their toys in my yard because it's like, or whatever. So you muttered about your neighbor, perhaps. And it said they muttered, they grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." I mean, I love it that we serve a God. We worship the God this morning that welcomes sinners and the likes of you and me and your neighbor next door. Look, we're not trying to be a courtroom. We're trying to be a hospital. And we're not trying this is what we're all doing, all of us in this place, whether you realize it or not. You know what we're trying to do? We're all trying to meet with the great physician. We're all trying to meet with God and encounter God. Bob Goff, who in his book said this, "If I really want to meet Jesus, then I have to get a lot closer to the people he created. All of them, not just some of them." As you sit here, I realize this, whether you're new with us today or you've been a part of LifePoint for a while, I think we've all had the thought, man, I don't know if I belong here. Have you ever had that thought? Don't shake your head, because that'll depress me. But we've all had that thought, right? I don't know if I belong here. And Luke 15 is about God rolling out the red carpet for those who think they don't belong. We can get that way. All of us can get that way, that I don't think I belong in church. I don't think I fit in this neighborhood. And so here's what I want you to do. Okay? I want you to practice loving your neighbor next door so that you can love well here. And I want you to practice loving your neighbor here in this place so that you can love your neighbor well next door. And here's what we need to do. We need to begin with the end in mind. And the end in mind is this. The Father's love was willing to release. Think about it this way, all right? Think about Jesus going skydiving. Because literally, God with us, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus stepping out of the splendor and the glory of heaven and going, "See you later, Pops. I'm going to do the mission." And, coming down and living life on earth to rescue humanity. God was willing to release that to happen. But the Father's love was willing to run as well. Going back to the thought of not feeling like you belong, let's just camp there for a second. Because maybe think about the very first time you stepped into church, all right? What did you feel? Because church can kind of be weird. I was thinking about even some of the songs that we were singing today, right? Sometimes, like, you go to church, and have you ever been to a church and you didn't know anyone, but someone comes up to you and they're like, they want to give you a hug? Do you go to Jiffy Lube and get a hug? Do you, like, show up at Walmart and, you're checking out and she's like, "Let's just pause. Let me come around here. I just want to thank you for shopping at Walmart today." But you come to church and you're like, people want to hug you. Not always, but and some of us are like, we have like these buffer zones. Like, I'm not a, don't do that. Like, everyone hug Steve Preston after service today because he just loves it. Or you sing a song like we sang today, "The Lion and the Lamb." Lamb? Why would I want to worship a lamb? I mean, last I knew, lambs were like, ooh, scary. Not really. Or you go to church, and like the first time I went to church, hands were raised, people were clapping, they were blowing a shofar, this seashell thing, and I'm just like, dear Jesus, what did I get myself into? You know? And it was just like intense, but then I learned some things. It was like jazzercise for Jesus. I mean, it was like a workout at church. It was incredible. You know, eat your donut, come and exercise. It was awesome. And then sometimes you're at church and someone comes up to you and they begin to pray for you. And you're like, dude, I don't even know you. And you're praying for me. And let me just, can I just pause there and kind of give a teaching moment real quick on that thought of prayer? Which is awesome if you feel like compelled to go and pray for somebody. But what I would encourage you to do, if you don't know that person, introduce yourself. Hey, I'm Steve, and I just, you know, for whatever reason, I felt like God put you on my heart. And what's your name? Jack. Okay, Jack, you know, can I pray for you? And like, don't be like weird, just pray for them. But have conversation before you do that so they're not going, oh my goodness, who's touching me? Because they might be someone like Steve that doesn't like to be touched, right? And so don't you just want to, let's just pause and go hug him right now, all right? I'm sorry. None of us, but you learn, then you like, look, all those things, then you learn the why behind some of that stuff, and you're like, oh, that's cool, man. That's awesome. I understand that the lion and the lamb, that because of my sin, there had to be a sacrifice, and Jesus became that sacrifice, so he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Oh, I get that now. Oh, they're excited because they've been redeemed, and biblical worship calls us to be expressive, so we clap our hands, and maybe we dance a little bit, or at least we sway, we try, and we express our love to God because we understand that he calls us to, love is expressive. And he has expressed his love to us, and so on and on we go, and then we understand. How many know that the you don't belong here thought doesn't enter your mind the first time you go to church? You mess up, you make a bad decision, and you think, I don't belong there. I don't belong here. Or, man, I haven't prayed for days. No, it's been more than days. It's been weeks. It's been months since I've prayed. God, I don't belong at a prayer meeting. I don't know how to pray. I'm afraid if I go there, you'll be like, you haven't talked to me forever. And so we let this I don't belong here thing engage us. I haven't really connected with anyone yet, so I don't belong there. All those thoughts. And let me just say this. You belong here whether it's your first time, whether it's you've been here 1,000 times, you belong here. Whether you're close to God or you're far from God, whether you're doubting God, you belong here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says this, you are a child of God, and because you're a child of God, you belong here. That's John's message to the church. If you're like, I don't know if I'm a child of God, then you can become a child of God by receiving what he's given to you through his son, Jesus Christ. But you belong here. Let me just say welcome home, because our house is your house. So let's get to the story of the prodigal son. I know I preached it before, but this famous story of Scripture, this famous parable that Jesus tells, found in verse 11 through 16. The son is asking a third of the estate from his dad. His dad, as far as we know, his health is fine, right? He's doing good, man. He just has been out in the field or whatever, working away, and all of a sudden, his son comes up to him and says, hey, I'd like a third of my inheritance from you now. In other words, what the son was wishing was that his father would be dead. He had the right to ask that. He could receive that, but that's the message. That's the underlining tone of that ask is, you know what? I want what's coming for me when you die, so why don't you just give it to me now? And, you know, that's a big deal. You know, my son comes up to me and says, hey, Dad, my phone's not charging. Can I get a new iPhone? And I'm like, I got a flip phone. And then he takes it and gets it, the lint cleaned out of it, and it works fine now. And I'm just like, yes, cheaper Verizon bill. How many believe in the conspiracy? You pay after 2 years, right? You got the thing paid off, and how many notice the battery starts dying quicker and all the... How many are conspiracy theorists on that one? Think about the kid's journey, all right? The prodigal son. He lived in his father's estate, and he had it all. Think of everything. He had it all, man. And then he moved to a distant land, taking his inheritance, and he became homeless. He became jobless. He became penniless. Things got bad. That word prodigal simply means wasteful, okay? And all of us, listen to me, all of us can identify with the prodigal son. We may think, man, I've never lived like he lived. I never went and squandered my money, my inheritance away on rambunctious living and going to the clubs and hooking up with having a relationship with a bunch of different people and paying for products. I've never done that. But let me ask you a question. How many of us have had seasons or moments when we're distant from the Father? We all know that feeling of being distant, don't we? We may not waste our inheritance on wild living, but we have been wasteful in other ways. Just a thought. Why do we get distant from the Father? Maybe we have a bad church experience. Maybe we were treated or we saw something that was done by Christians that was just a turnoff and we're pretty raw towards that. Maybe it was the participation ribbon of life. You started getting the applause of men, so the plaques and the ribbons and the check became that thing, that draw, that derailed your focus and your direction. Maybe that's what caused it. Because the reality is that sometimes as Christians you drift, right? It's been months since you went to church. And as pastors, we have a love-hate relationship with summer because it's like this thing. And I get it. I'm all for vacations. I'm for going to the lake, just not every week. I'm just, you know, because we can drift. And I've seen it happen so many ways. I've seen families get so like, dude, you're going to get a ribbon. And they start drifting. With their kids. And it happens to universities. Yale and Harvard started as theological institutions to prepare missionaries and ministers to proclaim the gospel. That is nowhere on their radar. They drifted. An institution. The YMCA drifted. Now it's just the Y. I'm not trying to be hard, but I'm just saying, listen, pawn shops drifted. The original reason for a pawn shop was designed to care for the needy. And now in many instances, they're an instrument preying on the distressed. And sometimes we look at the very thing that God provides in other places, but God, we look for value. Somewhere else than God. We look for love. We look for courage. And we look for those things all over the place, and we're missing and receiving it from the very one who creates the best way to be valued. We walk away from God searching for the very thing that only we can find in God. A Scottish pastor said this. He gave great counsel. His name slips my mind at the moment, but he said this, for every look at yourself, give 10 looks to Jesus. I love that. Because people, we all get distracted and we look for our value in other things. Henry Nouwen, in his book, The Return of the Prodigal Son, said this, I am the prodigal son every time I search for unconditional love where it cannot be found. We were created to crave unconditional love. How committed is God to that love? Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Listen to this. Now in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor height or nor life, excuse me, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The very thing that we're searching for are found in the Father. The younger son realizes everything that he was looking for in life, he had. But he said, I don't want it that way. I want to do it this way. And he realizes the moment comes to truth and it comes, he said, oh yeah, man, I had all of what I've been looking for out here. I had it with my father. And so he determines to go back. He determines to go back not as a son, but as a servant. Look at it, verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Once the kid decides that he's going to make a move to the father, the very first battle that he encounters is this: I am not worthy and I don't belong. So I'm going to go not as a son, I'm going to go as a servant. Here's a spiritual reality in Mark chapter 9. Gives us a great reality of how the battle wages within us. And in the instance of Mark 9, it's a son with a demonic spirit. The father wants his son delivered, and so he brings him to Jesus, right? And as they're drawing close to Jesus with the hope that his son is going to be set free, all of a sudden the demons begin to manifest in his son. You can look at it in Mark chapter 9. And Jesus delivers the boy, which is awesome. But here's the deal. Here's the point that I want to make. He's walking towards Jesus, and at that moment, there's resistance, because anytime you make a decision to walk towards Jesus, there is going to be resistance that you face. It may be from the enemy. It may be from those that would try to pull you back and hinder you in that course that you've set. Hinder you with thoughts of, man, you're not worthy. You don't deserve it. You're not smart enough. And the moment you move towards your neighbor, there will be whispers. Man, they're more educated than you. They make more than you. They do this. They do that. They're not interested in you. Look, I mean, they pull in and they pull the garage door up and they drive in and they drop it. They don't even wave at you. They're not interested in what you have to say. They're not interested in you loving them. And the enemy will do stuff like that. But who are you? And what awaits you? Romans chapter 9, or Romans chapter 8, verse 37 and 38. Put that back up there, Jessica, if you would. It's who you are, and it's what awaits you, that you are more than a conqueror, and that you are loved beyond comprehension. And you have that to give away. The son heads for home, and he's just cracking the horizon, right? And his dad happens to be looking out there, hoping that maybe this would be the day, or playing the memory of in his mind of his son walking away down that same road. And all of a sudden, he looks and he sees his son crack the horizon. And what does the dad do, man? He Hussein Bolts it. And he takes off to his son, which was totally undignified for a man of his stature in that culture, to run to his son. And he heads to his son, runs to him. And though the son returns, and he returns with this mindset of not valued, and I'm going to be a servant instead of a son, the father says no. The father redeems him, he restores him, he values him, he showers him, right? And did you catch it in the story as you look at it? What happened to the boy's speech? He never gave it. The father never allows the son to finish his speech. I was thinking about that in my own life. I came to Christ when I was a junior in high school, went to a winter retreat, and growing up in high school, I thought, man, I'm either going to be a narcotics cop because Miami Vice was a big deal, or I'm going to fly jet plane. I'm going to be a airline pilot. That was kind of my ambition, and God wrecked my life and wrecked my plans. And I came home from a retreat, and it was a Monday night, and it was dinner time, and I sat down with my parents, because at that point, my parents had gotten back together, and I knew my dad wanted his kids to have a college education, and that was a big deal to him. And I sat down, and I was like, tonight's the night, man. And I had my speech all ready, what I felt like God told me to do when I was at that retreat. I sat down, we ate our food. I said, and they were asking me, so how was camp? Camp was incredible. It was so awesome. In fact, I think that God called me to be a pastor. And I was like, oh, what's my dad gonna say? My dad has this big booming voice. Like, oh my goodness, Bob's gonna go berserk. And I was playing it in my mind the other day. And I had it all worked out, man. I was going to be like the defense attorney, stating my case as to why I should be a pastor. And my dad goes, huh, me and Mom were just talking about what you were going to do. And the other day she said she could see you being a pastor. That's really cool. And I was like, God, thank you. I never had to go there. I want us to take up the offer to roll out the red carpet for your neighbor, but also for anyone who steps into this place. That, man, you know, if you're a guest here or you're newer to LifePoint, I pray that you feel so welcomed. What brought the prodigal son back home? You know what it was? It was the memory of his father's goodness that brought him home. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you need to come home? Do you need to come home to the Father? Because if you do, you can do that with confidence. What is going to identify you as your neighbor? You know what it is? It's your love or your lack thereof. Our life verse for the week is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. I just want to read it. I won't take time to discuss it. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God, I don't know if I can love my neighbor. They've yelled at me. God, I don't know if I can love them. They're tough. They're rough, man. We don't have anything in common. That we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Here's my anticipation. If the worship team would come. Here's my anticipation for LifePoint. That we would be a home that sinners come running to. Secondly, that we would be a home that the tired find refuge in. So if you're tired this morning, you're at the right place. Your bed's not the right place. This is the right place. Because God can raise you up and strengthen you in ways that are sleeping 12 hours can't. That we would be a home for the tired, that they would find refuge here, and that we'd be a home that knows how to laugh and knows how to celebrate one another, because our house is your house.
Everybody dance. Everybody, this concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at LifePoint Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on LifePoint Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.